KNOM Profiles.
The Pilgrim Hot Springs Geothermal Project. It's been a media darling for the past few months. If you haven't heard of it, here's the story. In the 1970s, researchers drilling at Pilgrim Hot Springs discovered 190-degree water 90 feet below ground level. And they got really excited. Temperatures that high at such a shallow depth are a rarity in the geothermal world. Since then, the possibility of a geothermal power plant has lingered over the site. In 2010, Unitalk LLC bought the site and partnered with the Alaska Center for Energy and Power, or ACEP, to test that possibility. And this summer, after 3 years of surveying and conceptualizing the area, confirmation drilling began. This drilling is looking for the upflow zone, that one crack, that one fracture in the bedrock where the geothermal water shoots out fastest and hottest. If they find the crack, they can build a geothermal power plant and fuel the city of Nome. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. The first week of October, I went to Pilgrim Hot Springs to check out the project.
There's steam coming up from the slough just to the south of us. And on the other side of that steam, you've got the mountains, which are covered in snow. The grass around here is still relatively green. It's actually a really nice day with the lighting and sun coming in from under the clouds.
That's Chris Pike, the on-site project manager. He works for ACEP.
I think it's amazing that here I am, it's, what do you think it is, low 30s, upper 20s right now, and there's hot water bubbling out of the ground. Like, where is that coming from? I don't know. I mean, we have all these subsurface temperature measurements and all that kind of stuff, and it still kind of amazes me. Down in the earth, there's these high temperatures, and that water is transferring these high temperatures to the surface.
Steaming geothermal pools cover Pilgrim Hot Springs. The warm water seeps from an underground reservoir, shooting through bedrock and flowing upwards through over 1,000 feet of mud, rock, and silt until it spills to the surface.
The center of the earth is hot. We know that, right? And so in certain places, the crust of the earth is either thinner, or you might have these hot spots, or it might be hot because of, as a byproduct of radioactive decay, or there's a number of reasons you might have an area that is warmer than another. You might have like a magma plume or something that comes up. The water, the geothermal water, is what transfers that heat underground to the surface or to somewhere else.
And what makes Pilgrim Hot Springs hot?
We're not completely sure what the heat source underneath Pilgrim is.
So is the thing that most people misunderstand the most about geothermal?
I think it's a real mystery for people how electricity is made with geothermal. I actually just got a couple questions about that the other day. They're like, wait a minute, so hot water, you're going to turn that to electricity? And I think it's just important to remember that most electricity is just produced by moving magnets through a coil. And so all you're trying to do is find a way to turn that turbine to move those magnets.
Geothermal power spins turbines with steam. In high-temperature geothermal, the steam lifts from the boiling geothermal water. But the water at Pilgrim Hot Springs, at its highest recorded temperature, isn't boiling. It's just really hot. 190 degrees Fahrenheit hot.
So water boils at 212 Yep. degrees Fahrenheit. And so 190, what is that? Is that a cup of tea that burns your mouth?
190 degrees would really burn your mouth, yeah. I would say, you know, a good hot cup of coffee is probably around 160, 170 degrees. You know, 190 degrees, it's definitely burning temperatures.
Because the water at Pilgrim Hot Springs is below boiling temperature, the power plant, if constructed, the project is still in testing phase. The power plant would use what's called a binary system. Picture warm geothermal water in one container, and in a separate container on top is another substance, a refrigerant, with a lower boiling temperature than water. The geothermal water transfers heat to the refrigerant, The refrigerant changes to steam. The steam turns the turbine, spinning magnets through a coil and generating electricity. The geothermal water is re-injected into the earth to be reheated. The refrigerant cools, condensing to a liquid, and the system keeps going. A closed loop. This sequence is called an organic Rankine cycle.
Okay, so what is the coolest thing about geothermal?
Geothermal energy. Well, I would say that, you know, if it's done right, it's you have almost no emissions, no harmful emissions, and it can keep going on and on and on. When you're using a fossil fuel, your price keeps going up, or you don't know your price from year to year to year. You don't know what your price is going to be. Whereas with something like geothermal, once you have your power plant installed, you know exactly what your costs are going to be, more or less.
Besides being a clean, renewable energy, geothermal supplies stable pricing. With geothermal, you aren't buying anything to burn. Diesel prices roller coaster, taking cost up with them, but with geothermal, water is the fuel, and the water recycles through the system, so as long as it's used sustainably, the price should remain stable.
What are the advantages of geothermal over other renewable resources like solar, like wind?
Well, the primary advantage is geothermal is a baseload and it's consistent. It's not affected by weather and that kind of a thing.
A baseload is the amount of electricity a community is always using. Peak loads occur in the morning and at night when people wake up and when they return from work, but the baseload is what's under that. It's that consistent overall demand of electricity. Whereas the energy output of renewables like wind and solar fluctuates with weather, geothermal power generates a stable unit of electricity. Whatever the supply at the beginning should be the amount for the lifetime of the resource, if managed correctly, of course, meaning if too much water isn't extracted and if the water is properly reinjected into the ground. The amount of electricity predicted from Pilgrim Hot Springs is 20 to 40 megawatts thermal energy.
There's thermal energy, there's electric energy, there's all these different kinds. So how does thermal energy, how can that be described in terms of electric energy?
So, you know, thermal energy is just like you use to heat your house. If you think of a gallon of diesel, that's got 140,000 BTUs to it. And if you think of a BTU is like a match. So a gallon of diesel fuel that we heat our houses with, that's 140,000 matches. But when I convert heat energy to electric energy, I don't have a 100% conversion. Like I said, I only have maybe a 10% conversion if in a binary system. So that's why some of your numbers are a little bit different there.
So 20 to 40...
megawatts thermal. 20 to 40 megawatts thermal would be 2 to 4 megawatts electric energy, more or less.
2 megawatts electric energy is the amount Pilgrim Hot Springs must produce to be economically viable. So if less than 2 megawatts, no power plant. Gwen Holdman, the lead engineer on the project, said in a recent interview, quote, "To me, there is no question that this resource is capable of generating 2 megawatts of power," end quote. They just need to find the upflow zone, that all-important fracture mentioned earlier, where the geothermal water shoots from bedrock fastest and hottest. If they find the upflow zone, they find 2 megawatts, and Nome could find itself powered by geothermal energy. And for a long time, they thought they had found that spot. From late August to mid-October, they drilled straight to bedrock to get to it, almost 1,050 feet. I spoke with Chris Westberg, drilling supervisor and vice president of operations for MW Drilling.
Can you just explain kind of the scale of a 1,050-foot hole? An average person is 5'5 or something. So can you just describe to try to conceptualize the scale of this?
I think probably the top of Anvil Mountain is probably maybe about 1,000 feet above sea level. So if you're standing down on the porch out at Breaker's Bar and you look up at the top of Anvil, that's about how deep we drilled.
That's a good image.
My favorite bar.
All summer, the media hype focused on this almost 1,050-foot well. One news article even boasted that Nome could be running off geothermal energy by the end of the summer. But when I returned to the site the third week of October, things had changed.
So I was under the impression that the hole that was being drilled before was going to be like the hole to deliver this power source. Was that the intention behind it, or was that just always a possibility?
That was always a possibility, and I think we were hoping for that. And at this point, we're still hoping that there will be a geothermal power that will be developed in this area, but we want to be sure before we go and fully develop a hole that we're in the right spot. And so that's why we're going and we're moving around a little bit and just getting more data.
The well did not reach a high enough temperature to generate 2 megawatts. To do that, the water coming from bedrock at the well would need to be at least 190 degrees. But the water at that spot was about 10 degrees below that.
So what important information did you learn from this hole?
We got some really important temperature information. So we know that we're probably a little bit to the west of where the main upwelling is. And we can also tell by how the temperature changes with depth, how some of the temperature gradients are related to each other, which tells us kind of which direction we might get data from next.
The well isn't useless, though. It can be adapted for on-site operation, heating buildings, production greenhouses, bathing facilities. The day after abandoning that well, the drill team remobilized, heading eastward, where they began drilling 2 temperature gradients, basically smaller wells, 250 feet deep. These gradients measure water temperature, data to further isolate that critical hotspot, the upflow zone.
What is the process of finding that crack? It seems like a hit and miss sort of thing, like you have an idea and there's some science behind it, but then, okay, that's not the right spot, we're going to move over here.
Essentially, what we're looking for is the upwelling area. So what we see in this region is you see a very hot aquifer that's like 100 to 150 feet below ground level. And then the temperature actually drops a little bit, and then it slowly gets hotter as you go deeper and deeper. What we would really like to see is an area where the temperature gets hot at 150 feet or 200 feet, and then it stays hot all the way down. And that's how we would know that we're very close to that thermal upwelling.
So what's in the way? It's only like 1,000 feet of dirt. Why can't you see, or has technology just not been developed to see what's under 1,000 feet below the earth?
That's a question for the geologists, I think. But yeah, I mean, it's you know, that we've got a lot of tools at our disposal that we've been using that gives us clues, but each time we drill a hole, we get more and more information, and we're able to isolate the area more and more. So this has been really a really valuable season of work, because we've learned a lot. We've learned where the upwelling likely is, and we're going to continue to gather data and hopefully isolate that even more.
The project team is closing camp this week. When I was out there 2 weeks ago, I asked Chris how he felt about the move.
I'll miss days like this, where the weather is perfect and the lighting is gorgeous, and or days when we're really getting a lot done and feel really productive. Definitely miss days like that.
Before I go, I have to say, the project team made as little impact on the area as possible. Families have been coming to Pogrom Hot Springs for generations to soak in the water, to walk around, enjoy the scenery. The crew knows this, and they know people want to keep coming and not arrive at an industrial site when they do. So I report, the only impacts made on the area were erecting tents on the already existing airstrip, clearing a small area of trees for a drill pad, stabilizing that drill pad with 3 feet of dirt, laying a foot of fill on the roads, and drilling the 3 wells, the largest being 14 inches in diameter. Also, they left the historic area untouched.
So, do you think you'll look forward to coming back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without hesitation. This is my job, but this doesn't feel a whole lot like work to me. And it's probably the kind of thing that I would like being involved with, even if I wasn't getting paid for it.
Chris and the other researchers will spend the winter crunching numbers and reviewing data, searching for that upflow zone, the elusive key to unlock Pilgrim Hot Springs and power the city of Nome. Next summer, they will return and drill again. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Profiles is a production of KNOM News and Public Affairs.